that's wonderful. Have you two been practicing?
Well, we only sang last night, and we had to copy off papers because some of the words we didn't know.
Well, I think you did very well, nevertheless. Jimmy, do you know what time it is?
Yes, it's 8 o'clock.
And do you know what that means, Doris?
It's time for our Christmas show.
That's right. And tonight I have a beautiful Christmas story for you, and we're going to meet a wonderful lady, the lady who inspired the famous editorial by Francis Church, which begins, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus." Are you all set?
All set.
All right, then let's begin. Christmas Eve, 1966, a night of magic and miracles, of last-minute preparation and good fellowship. Christmas Eve finds youngsters on their best behavior, lest something spoil those beautiful dreams. Christmas Eve is also a night when the heart is light, and those who are not now children become so once again, at least in spirit. Good evening, this is Dick Bertel. And with me again this Christmas Eve to share the next hour with you are my 7-year-old daughter, Darcy, and my 5-year-old son, Jimmy. Our special guest is Mrs. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas, whose letter to the New York Sun in 1897 inspired the great Christmas classic which has become a part of our Christmas tradition. This first portion of our program is brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Well, you know, the music of Christmas is one of the things I like best of all. How about you, Jimmy?
Yes, I like it very much.
Then let's sing. And now, a message from William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
Christmas Eve, 1966, a night of anticipation. Christmas is the time of the child, and tonight children throughout the world will find it most difficult to sleep. For in each young dream, the lively mind's eye sees its own Christmas story. Each story will unfold in its own unique fashion, but each will reflect the innocence, the sincerity, the anticipation of the young mind. The dreams, the desires, the very being of the child all comprise Christmas. We of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company are pleased to take part in this most wondrous of nights.
Thank you, Mr. Buds. And we're delighted to be able to share this Christmas Eve with all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, 49 Pearl Street in Hartford. Well, Jimmy, Christmas is a special time of year. Do you know what Christmas is all about? Do you know whose birthday we're celebrating?
Yes, baby Jesus.
That's right. Would you like to hear about the baby Jesus in a song?
Yes.
All right, here is Leontine Price. Well, you know, I like to work in as many of your favorite Christmas songs as possible here on the program. Darcy, what would you like to have us play next?
Away in the Manger.
Oh, that's a beautiful Christmas carol, and a very old one, too. Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians, then, and Away in a Manger.
To stuff and cookies to bake. There's many and many a thing to do, which we have done before. For Christmas, blessed Christmas, is here once more. Now begins a mighty scurrying, each to do his task is hurrying, all to finish he contrives, ere the glorious day arrives.
There are gifts to wrap and cards to write, and secrets kept with great delight.
There's many and many a mystery behind each closet door. For Christmas, blessed Christmas, is here once more. Was there ever such a jolly day? Families gathered for the holiday. Home is filled with dancing eyes, laughter, love, and glad surprise. There are friends to see and prayers to say and songs to sing in roundelay. There's many a lovely memory of Christmas tides of yore. For Christmas, blessed Christmas, is here once.
Well, no Christmas is complete without snow. Jimmy, what do you like best about snow?
I can play in it.
What do you do in the snow?
I make snowmen, and I ice skate, and I make snowballs.
That sounds like great fun. How about you, Darcy?
Well, I like to lay down in the snow, and I make angels by moving my arms up and down and my feet back and forth.
Well, that sounds like fun. You know, all of the great snowfalls that you've ever experienced are made up of tiny, tiny snowflakes, millions of them that fall from the sky. Would you like to hear about a song that tells about snowflakes?
Yes.
And here's Mel Torme to sing for us.
Twisting, turning, blowing, churning, out of the sky they fall, silky and soft and small. Prettiest sight of all. One little snowflake, two little snowflakes, make Philadelphia so bright. Soon the whole town will be covered in the blanket of white. Three little snowflakes, four little snowflakes, falling on Cleveland tonight. Touch the big city with magic. What a lovely sight. The hills of Montana wear an ermine wrap. Wyoming and Oregon too. You're on to see the scene along the Susquehanna. You won't believe it's true. Five little snowflakes, six little snowflakes, silently covering the land. I was sent on my way by the master's hand.
Well, that's a song about snowflakes. Would you like to hear a story about a town where it never snowed on Christmas?
Yes.
All right. This is the story of such a town and of one little boy's wish for Christmas.
Thank you.
Phillipsburg had a unique distinction. It was something the townsfolk weren't particularly happy about, but nevertheless, a distinction could not go ignored, especially this one. For in the memory of even its oldest resident, it had never snowed in Phillipsburg on Christmas, or for that matter, even a day or two before Christmas. No, sir, a white Christmas was something that was simply unheard of in Phillipsburg. Oh, they had plenty of snow the rest of the winter, mind you. More than enough, to be truthful. So it was just coincidental that no snow ever fell on the town during the Christmas season. Each year, the local papers featured the story on the first page of the second section, and a few years ago, some of the bigger papers had picked up the story, too. Yes, sir, if you didn't like snow, Phillipsburg was the place to go on Christmas. Now, it didn't matter too much to the grown-ups. After all, no one enjoys shoveling snow or putting on tire chains. But it upset the children. Christmas was always pictured with snow and sleigh bells on the Christmas cards they saw. They saw pictures in magazines of shoppers pushing through the snowflakes on the crowded streets, doing their last-minute shopping. And, of course, the younger children were especially concerned. Because, as you and I know, that jolly old fellow we call Saint Nick uses a sleigh and reindeer exclusively for transportation. And if there were no snow, how would he ever make his appointed rounds? Even the Reverend Peter Hansen was concerned about the fact that it never snowed in Phillipsburg. He had been called to his little colonial white church in the center of town 2 years ago this month. And quite frankly, he missed seeing the white blanket of freshly fallen flakes which he had known in his own hometown since the time he was a child. He missed the silence that accompanied a Christmas snowfall. He missed seeing the multicolored Christmas lights reflecting lazy patterns across the white expanse. But most of all, and this sounds strange, I know, most of all, he missed the gentle crunching sound of new-fallen snow beneath his feet as he visited the sick and indigent members of his parish on Christmas Eve. Perhaps it is just as well, Reverend Hansen thought to himself as he walked down Main Street, past the Emporium, which was still doing business at this hour for those last-minute shoppers, mostly the men who just hadn't had time to buy anything before this. Perhaps it's just as well. After all, snow makes driving conditions hazardous, and slippery roads can bring tragedy and death. He remembered the school bus accident, which had taken place only 3 weeks before. 3 weeks ago this very day, he thought. Its bold, black headlines were splashed across the front pages of every newspaper in the state. It was the same old story, he thought, as he made his way up Main Street. Slippery, wet pavement from a driving rain, a curve, and a careless driver passing in the opposite lane. Joe Murdoch, the school bus driver, instinctively jammed on the brakes as he saw the inevitable, but the rear end of the vehicle skidded and the bus turned over in a ditch. Because of the bad weather, Joe had been traveling more slowly than usual. And because of this, everyone miraculously escaped with only minor injuries. Everyone, thought Reverend Hansen, but little 7-year-old Bobby Taylor, who had been crushed by the impact and the flailing arms and legs of the other children in their desperate scramble to escape. Little Bobby Taylor, rather small and frail for his 7 years, but a good-looking boy, intelligent, quiet, a child who didn't mingle very much with the rest, but stayed by himself most of the time. Yet even his schoolmates were very fond of Bobby. How helpless he looked, recalled Reverend Hansen as they carefully removed him from the wreckage and whisked him off to Mercy Hospital. He remembered as though it had happened only yesterday. The doctors held out little hope for Bobby's recovery. His injuries were that severe. And now, 3 weeks later, Bobby's life still held by a slender thread. Reverend Hansen pulled his coat around him tightly, for it was cold, although the sky was perfectly clear. And now he made his way up the slight hill to Mercy Hospital. He would be there soon. Of all the folks in the town of Phillipsburg who missed the snow, out of all the people who longed for the white flakes to fall on Christmas Eve, little Bobby Taylor missed them most of all. Bobby lay in his bed in Mercy Hospital and stared through the frosted pane to the street below. He felt very sad. He could see the brightly colored lights on the tree across the street.
He could hear the faint laughter off in the distance of a couple of children as they made their way home to a house that was bright and merry with good fellowship. But there was no snow. Bobby was very sad indeed. Bobby lived alone with his widowed mother in a little house at the edge of town. And ever since the accident, his mother had spent every waking minute with her son. She was in the room with Bobby as Reverend Hansen quietly entered. She turned her tired, drawn, tear-stained face toward his and smiled faintly. He put his strong right hand on her arm, and his rich baritone voice sounded reassuring. "Bobby's conscious now," she said, and he stepped over to the youngster's bed. The child lay still, but his eyes looked up into his, and he smiled. Reverend Hansen took the small child's hand in his and asked, "Do you know what tonight is, Bobby?" "Oh, yes," the child answered. "It's Christmas Eve." "Reverend Hansen, do you think it'll snow tonight?" "I was so hoping it would." "I was too," Reverend Hansen said. "Perhaps it will yet, Bobby. Is that what you want?" "Oh, yes. Yes, more than anything. Why doesn't it ever snow in Phillipsburg on Christmas Eve?" Reverend Hansen thought for a moment or two and then answered, "Perhaps no one has ever thought to ask God." The child's eyes sparkled for a moment. "Someday," he said, "someday, when I meet God, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him." Reverend Hansen smiled warmly and then began to tell Bobby the story of the very first Christmas, a story that took place almost 2,000 years ago in a land on the other side of the world, in a town called Bethlehem. He was unable to finish the story, for as he related the birth of the Christ child, Bobby's tired eyes slowly closed. It was more than an hour later when Reverend Hansen walked through the lobby of Mercy Hospital, past the gaily decorated Christmas tree that glowed brightly in the corner, through the revolving door, and out onto the street. He pulled his coat tightly around him as he hit the night air. He was colder now than before, for some reason. His face was set, and he stared at the ground as he made his way back to town. A few people greeted him with "Merry Christmas," but he didn't hear them. A group of carolers made their way up Main Street, singing the songs of Christmas. But Reverend Hansen didn't hear them. And then suddenly, he realized. It was snowing. Not just a few flakes here and there, but thick, heavy snow. Beautiful, clean, fresh, white snow. It was snowing. It must have been falling for almost an hour, for the ground was already covered with a white blanket. And then his heart filled with a warmth and joy he had never known before. Bobby had met God tonight, and he must have asked him. Reverend Peter Hansen's eyes were moist. He straightened his shoulders and threw back his head. The snow brushed his face gently and danced happily in the path before him as he approached. "Merry Christmas, Reverend," greeted old Tom Gruber, as he locked the front door of the Emporium and prepared to make his way home to his own family to celebrate Christmas Eve. "Merry Christmas, Tom," shouted Reverend Hansen. "And Merry Christmas to you, Bobby," he whispered as he looked up into the gray sky. The night was silent, like the silence that accompanies a Christmas snowfall. The multicolored Christmas lights reflected lazy patterns across the white expanse before him. But the most meaningful thing of all to Reverend Hansen, and I know this sounds strange, but the most meaningful thing of all was the gentle crunching sound of new-fallen snow beneath his feet. Well, Jimmy, it's request time once again. What song would you like to have us play tonight?
Jingle Bells.
Okay, Jimmy, Jingle Bells it is. Thank you.
And now, once again, here is Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
If the spirit of Christmas could prevail in the whole world each day of the year, how much more orderly and tranquil our lives would be. As this magic eve courses quickly through our lives, may I, on behalf of everyone at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, take this opportunity to wish to you and your family a very happy Christmas and a new year of peace.
Well, Jimmy and Darcy, do you know what caroling is?
Yes, it's singing. You go around to doors and you sing.
That's right. I bet you've never done that before, have you?
No, but Mommy and a neighbor of ours, they're going to make arrangements for them.
You mean they're going around singing, Mommy and this neighbor of ours?
No, they're going to get some people together, and we're going to go around sing.
Well, that sounds like fun. You know, we can do some caroling right now if you'd like. Would you like to?
Yes.
All right, a caroling we go.
A caroling, a caroling, a caroling we go. Hearts filled with music and cheeks aglow. From house to house we bring the message of the King again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. We bring you season's greetings and we wish the best to you. And may our wish last the whole year through. Come join us if you will as we are singing once again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now you may have your holly and perhaps a mistletoe. Maybe a fir tree and maybe snow. Wonderful if we could have again peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. A caroling, a caroling we go. Hearts filled with music and cheeks aglow. From house to house we bring the message of the King again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
This first portion of our program has been brought to you tonight with the compliments and good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Well, it's 8:30, and this portion of our program is brought to you by the Hartford Insurance Group. And during this portion of our program, we're going to meet a wonderful lady. Do you know who she is, Darcy?
Well, I know her first name, Virginia.
That's right. And what did Virginia do so many years ago? Do you remember?
She believed in Santa Claus, but all her other friends didn't believe in him and said, "Oh, Virginia, there's no Santa Claus." So she asked her father. She said, "Write to the New York Sun, and anything that they put, if they say yes, it's true, and if they say no, it's true."
And that's exactly what Virginia did. And the answer she got back has become a Christmas classic. We're going to meet Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas. But first, a song about jolly old St. Nicholas.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, mean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm gonna say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you bring to me, tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12 and I'm sound asleep, down the chimney broad and black with your pack of free. All the stockings you will find hanging in the row, mine will be the shortest one. You'll be sure to know.
Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled.
That's what he is.
Well, now it's time to meet Mrs. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas. And Darcy, what question would you like to ask Mrs. Douglas?
How did you spend your Christmas so many years ago?
Well, I remember that I might be the prototype of a great many children of my age. We had to go to bed very early so that we'd surely be asleep when Santa Claus came. I remember that I used to try to stay awake because really I didn't expect to hear the reindeer's hoofs on the roof, but I never did. I'd hung my stocking up, and my stocking was always hung in my bedroom so that it would be the first thing that I saw. The Christmas tree would be downstairs in the parlor. So I'd get my stocking and I'd dash into my mother's and father's room and display all the wonderful things that were in the stocking. And then they would get up, we would go downstairs, and I'd see what Santa Claus had left under the tree. And it was a very, very exciting day. Relatives and friends would come in to visit us, and we always had a real family time at Christmas time. Of course, they had to look at all the things that Santa left me and be as astonished as I was. Of course, going to church was always a very important part of Christmas because we didn't do as we do now in my family, go to midnight mass, but we always went in the middle of the day. And then Christmas dinner. Oh, Christmas dinner. that was wonderful. And there were candles on the tree when I was a little girl. And the ritual of lighting the candles and then being very careful that nothing happened, watching them. It was lovely. It was lovely. I can see them when I close my eyes. They'd be red and green and white ones, and then they had these little things underneath them, you know, so that the grease wouldn't drop down. Oh, and I forgot, we could light them for quite a long time afterward. The terrible moment came when the tree was too dry and it was too much of a risk to have your tree lighted this Christmas.
It's Christmas, Christmas. Hear the bells, silver bells. Hear the bells, silver bells, silver bells. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style, in the air.
This portion of our program is being brought to you by the Hartford Insurance Group. And now let's talk once again with Mrs. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas. Jimmy, what question would you like to ask Mrs. Douglas?
Why did she write a letter to the New Yorkers about Santa Claus?
Well, I have a confession to make. There were two really great times in my life. One was my birthday, which was in July, and the next was Christmas. And I just lived from my birthday to Christmas. My birthday being over, I was talking about what Santa Claus was going to bring me. And one of my little friends told me there was no Santa Claus. Well, that was something I could hardly believe. In fact, I didn't believe it, but I wanted to be sure, you know, I wanted to be right. So when my father came home, he was really an authority on everything. I asked him if there were a Santa Claus. Now, he was a little nonplussed. He wasn't as sure. He wasn't as definite as he usually was about things. So I conceived the idea that I'd ask the son. Now, that seems strange, but in our house, the son was an authority. It was a very, very, very fine newspaper. But my father's telling my mother, when she would question him as to whether or not something was so that she had read, he'd say, "Where'd you read it?" And when she said, "In the Sun," he'd say, "Well, if you see it in the Sun, it's so." So, of course, that was very, very wonderful proof that the Sun was reliable in everything. Then, in addition to that, the family who spent the summers together would talk about pronunciation of words or problems in whist, and that very often they would write to the son for confirmation as to what was the proper pronunciation or what was the best play of a whist hand. So I thought, well, if they knew things like that, they'd certainly know about Santa Claus. So I wrote the letter, and I expected there would be, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. No, Virginia, there's no Santa Claus." That was all I expected. And then, to my great delight and everybody's great delight, Mr. Church answered it in the beautiful way that is immortal.
Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. They do not believe what they see. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, compared with the boundless worlds about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary the world would be if there were no Santa Claus. Why, it would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance, to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would then be extinguished. Not to believe in Santa Claus? Well, you might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if they did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Not everybody sees Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not. But that's no proof that they are not there.
No one can conceive or imagine all the things that are unseen or unseeable in the world. You may tear apart a baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world that not the strongest man, not even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. It is all real. Ah, Virginia, in all the world there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus. Thank God he lives. And he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the hearts of children.
Before she got her answer, Daddy.
Well, I don't know, Doris. Let's ask her and find out.
It was quite a little time. You know how children are. They want something right away. I looked in the Sun and the editorial page. No answer. My father was downtown, and he met a friend who said, "Did you see the answer to Virginia's question, is there a Santa Claus?" Father hadn't happened to get the Sun that day. He went out and he came home with, I guess, an armful, because he recognized what a wonderful thing it was, and I'm sure he wanted to send copies of it to all his friends.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting my
marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
Daddy, what did she do when she read the answer in the newspaper?
Well, now, what any little girl would do, I think, unless you were a very unusual little girl, I went out and showed it to all the friends who had doubted and felt that I had carried conviction as nobody else could carry it, armed with such a long and interesting article.
Douglas, do you believe in Santa Claus?
Well, Darcy, that's the very question I asked her.
Yes, Dick, I do. I think more than ever. I see so many expressions of the goodwill and the faith and the love and the generosity all through the years that my conviction is greater than ever. And as Mr. Church said, I hope that 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood.
The Hartford Insurance Group is happy to bring you this program of Christmas. It is our hope that it will give you and your family a moment of enjoyment on this wonderful night. The Hartford Insurance Group would like to wish each of you a very Merry Christmas.
But, Daddy, is there really a Santa Claus?
Well, Darcy, Santa Claus is not that hard to imagine. After all, this is a day of miracles. If love and goodwill and brotherhood can fill the hearts of mankind, if a terrible war can be stopped even for a day, if the birth of a child can change the lives of mankind, then it shouldn't be difficult to accept a little miracle like Santa Claus. Would you like to wish our listeners a Merry Christmas, Jimmy?
Merry Christmas to all, and a happy, happy Christmas morning.
Merry Christmas and a happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and a happy New Year to you too, Darcy. And now on behalf of the Hartford Insurance Group, this is Dick Bertel wishing you season's greetings from our house to your house.